It is time for some music. It always surprises us which one's coming up. It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. But first, a little bit of Bob Harnett.
Scotch and soda, mud in your eye.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Arthur Schwartz.
That was a toast by Bob. That's very nice. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, your diet reminds me of the diet I went on from this Russian diet doctor here in Brooklyn. This is years ago, but I just drove by his office, and he's still there. So people are still doing this. And basically, it was a starvation diet, yes, like yours. You have to lose weight if you're not eating anything, right?
That's right.
On his, you couldn't eat, I don't know, you could only eat like between 10 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. But you were, because he was Russian, you were allowed unlimited vodka. If you were not a vodka drinker, it was you only got 2 glasses of red wine, and that was it. I never understood that part. Anyway, I only lasted on that for a week. I certainly lost weight not eating and no whatever. Anyway, these days I do eat, but I do try to eat healthy. Some days I succeed, some days I don't. I guess yesterday I succeeded more or less. If you can, everybody can think back a few weeks, or maybe it's already a couple months. I got obsessed by this recipe I saw Lydia Bastianich making on TV, and I actually had to buy the new book, which I think is called Lydia Celebrates or something like that. Yeah, she's celebrating all the royalties she's getting. But the book is whatever. I thought this recipe was particularly intriguing because it was meatballs made with a significant amount of super finely chopped vegetables, carrot, onion, celery, parsley, and garlic. And you made this very, very finely chopped vegetable mixture in the food processor, and you added a portion of it to the meatballs and a portion of it to the sauce that you were going to cook the meatballs in. Now, the meatballs, the meat in the meatballs, is Italian sausage meat, which I love to cook with. Now, you got to look at the package of your sausage meat and see what's in it. Italian sweet sausage should only have pork, salt. If they say spices, okay. But by me, it's pork, salt, and pepper, unless it's flavored with fennel. So there are sausages flavored with cheese and all other, to use not an Italian word, chazerai. Do we know this word?
Oh, we know chazerai.
Chazerai is Yiddish for junk, and more or less. In Yiddish, of course, it always has more reverberations than that. But in any case, so I decided that I really like these meatballs. I wasn't so wild about the sauce, although I do see the charm in just making little walnut-sized meatballs and dropping them into a pot of sauce. But I really wanted to try the meat with the vegetable thing because it extends the meat, and also it gave it a very nice flavor, way beyond a plain old sausage. So I actually devised a recipe. By the way, I have to say that in general, I am meatball I don't want to say obsessed. I'm meatball fixated lately, and it's probably due to my bad teeth. It's something one can eat easily, even if you have bad teeth. Of course, my teeth are in the process of becoming good, but they're not there yet.
Right.
So 1 pound, this is for 1 pound of sweet Italian sausage. I try to buy, I've made this with my butcher's wonderful but slightly lean sausage. I've made this with another butcher's fabulous and slightly fattier sausage. And why I think that the second butcher's sausage is so good is that he does not grind the meat really fine. It's more like almost like a hand-cut sausage, although I know it's not hand-cut. There are, by the way, in Italy, that is a thing. You know, there are, you know, it's a rare thing these days, but you can go to a restaurant and they may tell you that they're hand-cutting their meat in the kitchen, and they very well may be. So 1 pound of Italian sweet sausage. I found, actually, that the Premio brand, which is not so coarsely chopped, and does have a little sweetener, dextrose, I think, in it, which I don't care to have, works very well in this recipe. Because in the end, the meat, although the meat is significant, of course, I think the meat being finely ground, it mixes so much better with all the other ingredients. So, really, any good Italian sausage, 1 pound. So for that, you're going to need one medium carrot, one large rib of celery, one small onion, about a half a cup of parsley, of course, flat Italian parsley leaves, no stems, although you don't have to pick off the leaves from the fine stems. 2 cloves of garlic, large-ish, depends on your taste for garlic. In the end, you're not going to, it's not going to stand out like a main flavor. It's a background. That's it. So carrot, celery, onion, garlic, parsley. I put it in the food processor and pulse until it's very, very finely chopped. My food processor has conked out on me, even though it's only a couple of years old. It's a Cuisinart, who knows? And I wanted to make this yesterday, so I did it in the mini processor. And that amount of ingredient fits perfectly in a mini food processor. You want to do this by hand, it involves a lot of chopping. It's why Italians invented the mezzaluna for chopping. You know, that's the moon-shaped or half-moon-shaped.
Which really works, by
blade.
The way. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Which really works.
And it really does work.
And you remember the restaurant, Mezzaluna?
Yeah, the pizzeria on the Upper East Side. It was, by the way, that was a revolutionary place, but that was 30 years ago.
Well, revolutions come and go, but but they also had quite the collection.
There was a very good pizzeria, really Italian, called Mezzaluna on the Upper East Side years ago. I don't know if it's still there. It may be.
I have no idea.
And it also had a sister restaurant in Soho that I think is still there, but I don't remember what it's called.
Which was never as good, thank you very much.
Whatever. In any case, I don't think many people who are listening to this have a Mezzaluna. Plus, many years ago, I bought from the Vermont, is it called Vermont?
Country store, and which still exists.
Which does still exist, and I think this item still exists. And it is what I would call in Yiddish a hakmesse, which is a half-moon bladed chopper. And it came with a concave wooden chopping block, I'll have to call it, into which the blade worked very well, and you could rock it back and forth and do this. But this is it was meant for herbs, but the whole thing was meant for chopping herbs. I've never used the bottom part. I use the hackmesser part all the time. The item was cheap enough that I paid it just for the hackmesser. It has a beautiful maple handle with brass rivets. And the blade is a carbon steel that keeps a sharp edge. So it's a nice item. Anyway, back to my meatballs. So now all this ground up should amount to about a cup and a half of ground vegetables. So you can see right away you're extending this meat with a large amount of vegetable. You need some breadcrumbs. I used 3/4 cup of fine dry breadcrumbs. Again, I buy breadcrumbs that have no sugar in them. Look at your packages and see what's in it. The bread that major brands are made from contains sugar usually. I make crumbs, you know, if I have enough bread. I do today, for instance. I have some leftover fabulous whole wheat bread, and I'm going to make crumbs with it. But anyway, fine dry breadcrumbs. The of course, your vegetable mixture already has your parsley and garlic, so you don't need that. One egg, I lightly beat it before I throw it into the bowl, and a half a cup of grated pecorino romano cheese. My friends in Italy are busy criticizing the pecorino that we can buy in the U.S. These are American expatriates who haven't lived here in 30 years. So they only think that we have crappy pecorino. But the fact is you can buy exquisite pecorino almost anywhere on the East Coast in any case. I don't know anything about Indiana or Iowa. But I bet you in Des Moines you can get it. Good pecorino. So anyway, you could use Parmigiano, you know, or Grana Padano, which is a less expensive sort of more or less version of Parmigiano. But I like the taste of the pecorino here. And Mr. Bob claims to hate pecorino cheese, and he loved these meatballs. And I didn't tell him there was a half a cup of grated pecorino in there. So I mix all this up. I'm going to repeat the ingredients because it's a bit of a list. 1 pound of sweet Italian sausage. I push them out, push the meat out of the casings. Some people split the casings and take out the meat any way that spins your wheels. And so 1 pound. Your vegetable mixture consists of one medium carrot, one rib of celery, largish, 2 cloves of garlic, a small onion, a half a cup of parsley. I cut up the vegetables before I put them in the processor. 1.5 cups of that mixture. 1 egg, a half a cup of pecorino, 3/4 cup, or you could reduce it a little bit to 1/2 cup, I think will be enough, of fine dry breadcrumbs. I added a little bit of salt, and I added several grindings of pepper. I was happy in the end that I did that. And I mix it all up with a fork, and then I mix it all up with my hands. You really almost want to knead this together because you want it to be quite homogeneous. And then to check on the seasoning, because, of course, sausage vary. I took a heaping tablespoon of the mixture, made a little patty, and cooked it in a skillet on top of the stove until it was done. It only takes 5 minutes if you make a little patty, and taste it. And then you can adjust your salt and pepper. You know, maybe you want to start out with not adding any salt and pepper because pecorino is salty. The sausage may be salty. So anyway, you can test it that way. When Lydia made the meatballs, she made little meatballs, cooked them in sauce, but I didn't want sauce last night, and I really wanted to try baking the meatballs. So I made a larger meatball. I made this mixture into 12, I would say, I didn't measure it, but I should have. I would say this was at least a rounded third of a cup of the mixture for each meatball. And so they ended up maybe being 2-inch diameter meatballs. And it made exactly 12 meatballs, which could, if you were eating other things, could feed at least 4. And that's from 1 pound of meat, but maybe even 6. From 1 pound of meat. And I baked them on a baking sheet, on foil lined baking sheet, just so I didn't have to clean it later. But I'm glad I did this. For 20 minutes at 450 degrees, they were perfect. However, I discovered they do stick. So next time I do it, and I will be doing this again, I'm going to grease the baking sheet. I'm just going to brush some olive oil on it. The bottoms of these meatballs got really brown and wonderfully crusty. The tops got browned lightly, and, you know, they were delicious, but if you really wanted them to brown sort of more and more evenly, maybe next time I'll do this, I would say after about 10 minutes, roll the meatballs around a little bit and get the bottom to the top or something. But 20 minutes at 450 does it. And the reason I made them larger is because if they were tiny, I thought they probably would get done before they got browned. So I was glad I made them larger, 12 meatballs, and the little ones I don't know. You know, this has a larger vegetable content than the original recipe, much larger. I wanted that. I wanted there to be more vegetables to extend the meat. I mean, if you have a little kid and you can't get them to eat vegetables, this is a way to get them, because they're really a cup and a half of ground up vegetable in here. It's a lot. You could serve these with tomato sauce. And I was thinking they also would cook very nicely in tomato sauce if you wanted to make a pan of tomato sauce and then just poach them in the tomato sauce. They would take almost a half an hour, I think, in slowly bubbling tomato sauce to cook. And you don't have to fry them on top of the stove, but you could do that too. Of course, a crusty fried meatball is like nothing else to me. Anyway, so it was a busy week because I gave a cooking lesson. To an old friend who I gave this cooking lesson as a birthday gift. But the thing is, she eats here a lot. I've never eaten in her house, but I know she cooks for her and her husband, my friend. And she's always saying, "Oh, your food is so good. You have to tell me what you do to make it so good." So we cooked together for several hours the other day, and now I know why my food tastes better than hers to her. I've never tasted hers. Is that she was horrified when I put 2 tablespoons of oil in a pan to make tomato sauce.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And she doesn't cook with salt. So if you don't cook with good oil and good oil, and you don't cook with salt, your food's not going to taste as good as mine, anyway.
Yeah. I had sort of a similar experience years ago at a Thanksgiving where I was making roast potatoes, and I threw some olive oil, really good, and a little bit of butter in there, and the salt, and threw it in the oven, and the person said, "Oh, wow, mine never tastes like this." I don't use
it.
Yeah. So you need that.
I use margarine. And only a teaspoon. I said to my friend, who will go unnamed, I said to my friend, I said, "Well, you know, how would you saute an onion?" "Well, maybe I would put in a teaspoon of oil." So I had to, you know, when you're making, so here's my cooking lesson for you. Something I do like without thinking these days is make simple tomato sauce. And I've taught it for so many years. I know the pitfalls here. The main pitfall is not having the patience to cook the onion or the garlic. And by me, because I cook Neapolitan style, they never go in the same pan together. The onion or the garlic, have the patience to cook those properly. Now, in the case of an onion, and I use my onion tomato sauce for most things, I use my garlic tomato sauce for some things and almost always for fish or seafood. And the Neapolitan mantra is garlic, parsley, olive oil. For pasta, I would use onion. So I mince up my onion. Oh, by the way, you know, if you come take a lesson with me, the first thing I want to do is teach you how to efficiently cut up, chop, mince, dice an onion. Because once you know how to do that efficiently, cooking becomes easy. It feels like almost every recipe in the world starts with chop an onion. So I take my onion, a small amount, a quite small amount, say 3 tablespoons, the tiniest onion you get in the bag of onions, and I use the different size onions for different things. So the tiniest onion you have in the bag, I hate wasting an onion, but if you don't have a tiny onion, a half of a small onion, or even a medium onion, but you don't really need more than, let's say, a quarter of a cup of minced onion per 28-ounce can of peeled tomatoes. So you take your onion, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of olive oil. This is a 3-ingredient recipe, if we don't count salt and pepper. And you cook the onion over low heat until it gets soft but not colored. I always used to joke in my classes that if you brown the onion, it becomes Jewish tomato sauce. If you leave it blonde, it's Neapolitan tomato sauce. Now, to get to this point, you may have to add a tablespoon or so of water after the onion gets going in the oil over low heat. And, of course, everybody's stove and pan is different, so you got to figure this out. You just want it's a little perking away there. And if it starts getting a little colored before it's tender, how do you know it's tender? You taste a piece. You add a tablespoon or so of water. And that'll slow down the process enough to get the onion soft before it gets colored. Then you add your can of tomatoes. Now, you can add just, I gave my friend choices, and in the end, we decided to use the potato masher. So I pour the tomatoes into a small bowl, and I mash them up with the potato masher, and I put them into the onion. And then you could also just squeeze each tomato in your fist and let it drop into the pan, or you could pour the whole thing into the pan, the whole tomatoes, and break them all up with the side of a spoon, or I have a lot of wooden forks. I like to use that, too. So you have all these choices, but basically you want to crush up your tomato. Can't you buy, I hear the question right now, can't you buy canned crushed tomatoes? Well, you can.
But don't.
But the quality of the crushed tomato in the can is not the same as the whole tomato. Believe me, if they had good whole tomatoes, they would sell them whole. It's the ones that are not so good.
Right.
Or for whatever reason, there are several. They go into the crusher and become crushed tomatoes. This is not to say it's a bad product. It's just different. And the other thing that I do use sometimes is good tomato puree. And just because I wanted to try it, since I know listeners and, let's say, people, buy it, I bought a can of Red Pack tomato puree recently and made my tomato sauce with that. It's different. It's not what I want to eat alone on a bowl of pasta. I want my whole tomato sauce. Oh, by the way, you can also run the tomato, if you want a smooth sauce, you can run the can of tomatoes through the food mill, right into the skillet with the onion. Now, I showed my friend, when you add the tomatoes to the onions, the oil is going to, and this did not appeal to her, this look. The oil, of course, comes up the sides of the pan, and you get this little pool of tomato surrounded by oil with onion. So, of course, you want to stir it in. So the right way to do it is not to stir in circles, not to stir in eighths, but to stir from the edge of the pan in, so that you're sweeping the oil and onion into the center of the pan, and you go all around the pan, and you do that. You know, when you teach people what to do, you become super aware, well, at least you should if you're a good teacher, I think I am, of what exactly you're doing. So when I say stir, you know, the tomatoes into the onions, and you're going to look at this when you add the tomatoes, and you're going to say, what does he mean? And that's what I mean. Draw the edges into the center. And you let this perk away, really just pop, 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 you know, over lowish medium heat, but it should go pop, 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 in a skillet. I do this all in an open skillet because I want quick evaporation. I don't want the sauce to cook too long. 10-12 minutes really is the optimum if you have it perking away at the right heat. Usually 12 minutes does the job. Somewhere in between 0 and 12, I stir it once or twice. But it doesn't really need any attention for 12 minutes. Of course, you want to add salt and pepper, which I didn't mention. But you can add it at the end if you like. But I always start out the sauce with a big pinch of salt and a couple, three grindings of pepper. And that's it. That's my basic, simple sauce. By the way, instead of black pepper, you could use hot red pepper.
Yeah.
I know, but some people like it.
I understand, but what does Bob Harnett say?
My friend wanted to learn eggs in purgatory, not realizing that that's one of my teaching dishes, because you do learn how to make your basic tomato sauce, and then what is eggs in purgatory, but eggs poached in that tomato sauce. By the way,
why is it called Eggs in Purgatory? Do you know?
I'm not Catholic, so I can't give you
a good answer.
A good answer.
Can you
to
give
that.
Me a Jewish answer?
I guess I don't know. Purgatory.
It's red like
I
hell.
Don't know, does purgatory still exist?
Of course.
Oh, what's the one that doesn't exist anymore?
Pluto, the planet. No, I'm joking.
No. You know, anyway, some Catholic person friend will email me or call me and tell me what it's a senior moment here, which I have more frequently now that I'm so senior. Yes, or as my father used to say, don't say goodbye, just so long.
So long.
So long.
So long.
Thanks.
Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on The Breakfast Club. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or a sit-down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.